that we can utilize the Lord's Prayer, because the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus said, pray this way. And so I really believe that you can pray the Our Father prayer, the Lord's Prayer, with a lot of heartfelt and meaning. But I believe that lots of us have prayed the Lord's Prayer and not thought of one word while we were praying it. We just routinely, rotely rehearsed and said that. And I'm not saying there's not benefit to that, because I'm just telling you that you know the Lord's Prayer, and you know and you can connect with God because of that. But I also believe, in addition to just praying verbatim the Lord's Prayer, we can use the Lord's Prayer as an outline for our praying. And last week, we realized that in prayer, according to Psalm 100, we enter His gates with thanksgiving, and we enter His courts with praise. And so that first line, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name, is how we approach the throne of God. As a matter of fact, why don't we pray through, as the beginning of our sermon today, the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. How many of you grew up with hearing the expression kingdom come, and it had something to do with you being in trouble? I'm going to knock you into kingdom come. My wife called that hate speech that I was not supposed to use with the children, because I wasn't really going to knock them clear into the future. I just felt like that's what they needed at that moment. But because of that expression, kingdom come, that is derived from thy kingdom come in the Lord's Prayer, it's this informal phrase that means like the next world or the end of time. And I think this is really a misinterpretation of the meaning of praying Your kingdom come, Your will be done. I don't think we're praying about what happens to us after we die or after Jesus comes again. I believe that we're inviting God's kingdom and His will into our life right now. We are certainly not living in the full manifestation of the kingdom of heaven. How many of you believe? I mean, if this is the full manifestation of the kingdom of heaven, we got cheated. Okay? But you and I are part of the kingdom of heaven right now, are we not? We are citizens of heaven. Jesus said, don't say, you know, look here, look there, concerning the kingdom. He said the kingdom of heaven, Luke 17, the kingdom of heaven is within you. And so this demarcation of prayer, this next part of prayer, after we've entered into the presence of God and thinking about God being our Father, and, you know, getting ourselves into an attitude of reverence and holiness, because we are coming into the presence of Almighty God in our prayers. And we're remembering the names of God, that He's our healer, He's our provider, He's our shepherd. He's the Almighty God. He's the one who never leaves us nor forsakes us, and so forth. Then we're ready to start praying, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. This demarcation of prayer helps us and assists us in setting our priorities by the Holy Spirit. How many of you have ever done this? And I do want a show of hands. How many of you on a Sunday morning were very motivated to realign some priorities in your life? All right? But by Friday, you'd kind of forgotten about them. Let's be honest. I mean, we got all excited on Sunday morning. We heard a sermon that was very convicting of something in our life, and we decided we're going to do something about this, we're going to change this, but we set these and formed these priorities on Sunday, and we had forsaken them by Friday. I will tell you, praying, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, Your kingdom come, Your will be done, will help us keep locked into the priorities that we set before God, because it allows us to pray through those priorities in our life. Prayer helps us control our tongues. How many think that would be a good idea? It is a good idea. The psalmist said, "Let the word," Psalm 19, "let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Look at James chapter 3 for just a minute. We're talking about prayer this morning and helping you pray. And what does it mean to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done"? It's helping me to align myself, to align my priorities, to align my words and my thoughts, my meditation, with the will of God. How many of you believe that God's ways are higher than our ways and His thoughts than our thoughts? I got a hold of a scripture in Isaiah. It's Isaiah, I think, 48:17. And God said, "I'm the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way that you should go. Oh, that you would have heeded my commandments, then your righteousness would be like the waves of the sea. Your children would be like planted and stable, their feet underneath your table," and so forth. And I'm thinking, that makes me think of the hymn that we sang growing up, you know, in the garden. And all the things that we forfeit because we do not pray. The peace, the guidance, the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, if you learn how to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," you can start lining up your priorities and keeping locked into your priorities, because it keeps your mouth, it keeps your tongue in going in the right direction, because you're praying these words, you're praying them out loud, you're praying them for your own ears to be heard. James 3 verse 2 says, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man." So rest assured, you're in good company today. Nobody's a perfect man, because we still stumble with our words, don't we? "Able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn the whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue, though it be a little member and boasts great things, see how great a forest a little fire kindles." And the tongue is a fire, the world of iniquity. "The tongue is also set among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of hell." And it is set on the fire of hell. "For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no one can tame the tongue. It is an unruly member, full of deadly poison." And so, I mean, so how many of you, your mouth ever got you in trouble? Yeah. How many of you, it still does? And so we're not going to be perfect in this. I mean, even the text suggests so. But as I regularly, very consistently, very often pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," in my life, on earth as it is in heaven, it helps me meditate on the right thing. It helps set my priorities in the right direction. And it will cause my mouth, cause my tongue to more consistently speak the word of God and speak things that are righteous, speak things that give life instead of death. Amen. So praying through this, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," we're praying through the major areas of our life. That starts with yourself. That starts with you. 1 Timothy 4:14 through 16 says this: "Take heed to yourself." Take heed to yourself. Do not neglect the gift of God that is within you. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress, take heed to yourself and to your doctrine, continuing in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. That's how I got messed up. Verse 16 is what I was looking for. But I mean, before I can start praying for other people, I need to be right. This is sort of the lifeguard rule number one. I've never been a lifeguard, but I know this about being a lifeguard. You have to keep yourself in a position of strength so that you can save the other person. So in other words, if you don't have to jump in the water with them, you shouldn't. If you can throw them a rope, you should. If you, you know, hold out a pole to them, you know, you should, and you can pull them in. You're going to save somebody because you're doing it from a position of strength. If you have to jump in the water with somebody, I mean, I was told even if you have to club them in the head and knock them out so that they don't grab you and pull you under. That's why you approach a person from behind in water safety. So you keep them from grabbing and kicking and pulling you under. So when we're praying, your kingdom come, your will be done. Number one, that starts with me. That starts with you. It starts with self. I'm praying, God, I want your kingdom to come. I want your will to be done in my life. I mean, before we start praying about our needs, before we start praying for our desires, before we start asking for things, we need to set our priorities. And I want what God wants. How about you? I want His ways to be enacted in my life, and that comes through invitation. We could draw an imaginary circle around ourselves in this prayer time. When we're praying, your kingdom come, your will be done, it's like I'm drawing this circle around myself and pledging to the Lord, I'm not coming out of this circle until your kingdom and will for me for this day has been set in my heart. That's why we do believe that praying in the morning is a good idea. Because it allows us to say, your kingdom come, your will be done. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So this is an important, I mean, if I don't get to asking for things, it's more important that I align myself with the will of God. More than asking what I need of, I need me to be lined up with the will of God. Now, the dean of the school that Michelle and I went to in Oklahoma used to pray this way and taught us this. He said in a prayer, Lord, I accept nothing less than your best in exchange for this day of my life. Isn't that a good prayer? Isn't that what we really want? We want nothing less than God's absolute best in exchange for this one day of my life. Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10. Paul, praying for the church in Colossae, prayed for them, and I've adapted this prayer to make it a prayer that I can pray for myself, and you can pray it for yourself. Father, I ask to be filled with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding that I may walk worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing you, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Isn't that the prayer you really, really desire for your life? Now, we'd started doing something a little different with the study guide. You absolutely just have my notes every week. You don't have to fill in the blank, anything else. I'm just giving you my notes so that, you know, if you miss something as we're going, I'm telling you, learning how to pray will change your life. Learning how to pray will just change so many things in you. And so that's why we're taking so much time with this. That's why we're giving you every resource that we can give to you. We want you to learn how to pray, and it starts with worshiping God, and then it moves right into what I call prayers of dedication and consecration. Lord, I want what you want. Lord, I will say whatever you want me to say. I will go wherever you want me to go. I will be whatever you want me to be. I will do whatever you want me to do. Come on, are you following me in this? I'm telling you, I've seen one too many Christian books where it's all about me. Are you following me? And I'm not trying to make fun of any Christian. I don't have any book in mind, but it seems like title after title after title after title is, you know, how you can have your best life and find the real you and all this stuff. And following Jesus is about losing me. Following Jesus is about surrendering my will to the will of my Heavenly Father. And how many of you know and believe and really do believe that God's plan for your life is better than the plan that you would have for your life? That God's will for your life is better than the will that you would come up with on your own. But you might not choose that without the Lord impressing it upon you. Are you following me? You wouldn't have done it except you knew this is what God wanted me to do. And that starts with praying, your kingdom come, your will be done. And then we do the same thing. We can pray for our family. If you're married, you can pray for your spouse in this same way. You know, when you're praying over your family, you're not just praying for certain outcomes. What you really want in your family's life is God's will to be done. Isn't that true? Ultimately, isn't that what you really want? Yes, Lord, get rid of this boyfriend. But really, ultimately, what you really want is God's will to be done. I'm just pretty sure it's not this boyfriend. But as you commit yourself to the will of God, it becomes more clear to you what His will is as you seek, as you're asking, as you really are. Jesus taught us to pray, our Father in heaven. I really truly believe that God is hearing me when I pray, and I really truly believe He's answering me when I pray. And what I really want in Michelle's life is God's will to be done. If that includes chocolate chip cookies sometimes, even better. But I'm thinking not right now. Probably not God's best in exchange for this day of my life. Probably more like broccoli right now. But I would choose. See, I wouldn't always choose the right thing for me. How about you? And so we can pray those. And as you're praying through that list, there's all kinds of people in your family. And I'll tell you, some days you're going to be more impressed to pray for one family member more than another family member. Why? Because we're praying God's will be done. Sometimes one of our children or one of our relatives, somebody needs a little bit more prayer right now than the other one. I just go with that. I go down through my contact list sometimes just in my phone or on my computer, and I just start praying over names in the church family. I'm praying God's will be done in their life, praying for them, that the Lord would lead you, guide you, and direct you. And every once in a while, that becomes so strong in me, I feel like I just need to contact you and let you know, hey, I've been praying for you today. Now, a few of you kind of guilty conscience guys go, why? What am I? Did the Lord, I don't know, maybe. The Lord didn't show me what you did. He just told me to pray for you. If you need to confess, confess your faults to one another, pray for one another that you might be healed. That's scripture. Amen. But also I would say that when you're praying, your kingdom come, your will be done, I'm asking you as part of this church family to pray for your pastors. Look it up. In every letter that Paul wrote to the churches, he said, pray for me. 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 When you get to the end of the list of putting on the whole armor of God in Ephesus, in Ephesians chapter 6, you're putting on the whole armor of God that you may be able to pray in the Spirit and win all of these battles in the spiritual realm. And at the end of that discourse in Ephesians 6, in about verse 20, 21, and he said, and pray for me. Do some battle on my behalf. And so I'm asking as your pastor that you would pray for me. You know what you really need from me is God's will to be done through me. You know what you really need from me is that when I stand up here, that I speak the messages that God would have me to speak. You know what you really need from me is that I would lead and guide, this church in the way that we should go. Amen. You know what you really need from me is for my marriage to be strong and my family to be strong. That's what you really need from your pastor, and I'm asking you to pray for me. Now, we have some wonderful opportunities going on right now. I mean, in a few weeks' time, we have an absolutely fabulous, fabulous announcement to make to you. That and all of this came about as a matter of prayer, but there's so many working parts going on right now. We're asking that you pray for us. Pray that God's favor be upon us, that His will be done, that His kingdom would come. pray for Pastor Aaron. Pray for Chad and Courtney and Morgan and Michelle and all of us. We're asking that you pray for us. Pray if you're part of any kind of a disciple group. Pray for your leaders. Pray for the other people that are in your group. And just anything that God would put on your heart. If we'd had more time, I really wanted to show you a little video from India this morning. You know, we were with Todd and Julie Powers this week, our missionaries in Thailand and Burma and in Pakistan. I mean, if God puts them on your heart, you ought to pray for them because they're dealing with all kinds of things all the time. But it allows us to pray for government leaders, our community, our nation, and so forth. You notice that before you say, "Give us this day our daily bread," we say, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." I think that's the way it's supposed to be. Look at 1 John chapter 5. We're going to wrap this up this morning. We're going to cover two demarcations of prayer today. We're covering your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I'll be honest, I think we need to spend a lot more time there than give us this day. I think we need to spend more time aligning ourselves with the will of God. But you know, there's something really bold that happens when you feel pretty confident that you're living and walking in the will of God. It gives you boldness and confidence in your asking of God. 1 John 5, verse 14, it's not in the notes, so you can write it down. I added this. 1 John 5, 14 says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him." We know. We know. James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3 says this, that you lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. So once we align ourselves with the will of God, and we're doing that on a very consistent manner, then we should be asking for financial needs to be met, asking for needs relationally with our children to be met or at work or whatever. I mean, I have a list that's so long. My needs are just so great because I have a household. I also have, you know, the church to think about and so forth. So I do a lot of asking of God, but I do so boldly and confidently. Because I regularly try to align myself with the will of God. Am I perfect? No, you're not perfect. But you don't have to be perfect. Amen? But there's something about saying, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," that we can roll into, "Give us this day. Give us this day. Give us this day. Man, if you need tires for the car, give us this day. Man, if you got a bill that's unpaid, give us this day." I mean, if something's going on with one of your kids that's not right, give us this day. We're asking. It's a supplication. It's a specific request. Paul taught us in Philippians 4 that instead of worrying, what could we do? We could pray. Philippians 4, 6. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious. Don't worry about things. But let your request be made known to God. Pray. Ask, and it shall be given to you, Jesus said. Matthew 7, 7. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. You see, we come into God's presence and say, "Our Father." We worship Him. We worship His holiness. We worship the name of God. Then we begin to submit ourselves to the will of God in prayers of dedication and consecration. And coming out of that time, we begin to ask God for the things that we have need of. You see how this flows so well? And you can do that in 2 minutes, or you can take 20 minutes. depending on the time, depending on the leadership that you're getting from God. I'm telling you, we can learn how to pray. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power, the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's learn how to pray.